If you have your Bible tonight, let's go ahead and go to John chapter 6 and verse 1, going down through verse 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that he had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So we're talking tonight about surrender and faith, those two areas. And the title of tonight's message is, Why Give Him My Basket? And there's a young man in verse 9, a lad, the Bible says, that has this we already know, the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And so we're going to make a parallel between him and us. And he's, you know, of course, you know, an insignificant person in society here in verse 9. And then what he has is insignificant compared to the need that was there. And so we're looking at that tonight, that parallel between him and us. And we all have a basket tonight. And this young man had a basket that probably held his 5 barley loaves and his 2 small fishes. And so we're going to use that as an illustration tonight with us in our life. And so God wants our life tonight. This young man willingly brought forward what he had, though it wasn't much, and God used it. And, you know, that's a picture for us tonight, because, you know, we're kind of tempted sometimes to think, you know, well, especially, okay, so let me draw an illustration here. So when I was, you know, in Bible college, and I was preparing for, I didn't know what at the time, I just knew God had me in Bible college. But, you know, maybe if God would have showed me all at once, I would have been like, no. But you know what? Sometimes God calls us to do things, and it doesn't have to be that specifically about being a missionary, but calls us to do things that test our faith. It might test our obedience as well and our surrender. And God may call you to do something. You know, it doesn't have to be a missionary, but something else maybe. And you'll have to face that. And for me, it was, you know, God's call in my life to be a missionary. But for you, it could be something different. And God may call you to do something. And for me, the problem was, you know, I didn't believe. And I lacked faith. And but God is saying here through this miracle, through this provision that God had done, that God, you know, it's not important to God who you are. This was a young man that was... not even named here. We don't even know what his name was. An insignificant person. And God wants to, you know, show you that, you know, he can use you as well. It doesn't matter who you are. This young man doesn't have a name. You know, he's young. You know, back in Bible days, young people were, you know, today, you know, young people know everything. But back in Bible days, you know, young people, you know, the older people were looked up to. And so the younger people, as it should be, you know, weren't as noticed. And so, but there was this young man in front of this group of 5,000 men, plus their families, but in front of 5,000 men, and God was proceeding to use him He didn't use anybody else. He used this young man, and there was 5,000 men sitting. And God didn't use any of those 5,000 grown men. God used an insignificant young man. And I just want to encourage you tonight that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. God wants to use you. Whatever it is, God wants to use you. And God will work through you in spite of who you are. In spite of, what other people may think of you. God will use you. And the other thing we want to see here is what he had wasn't much. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And, you know, who we are and what we have, what our talents are per se, maybe our even personality. I'm not, you know, if God would have told me, you know, I want you to be a missionary. Back before I was in Bible college, I would have been like, no, got the wrong guy. But, you know, God had to take me and show me, you know, these things that it's him. And it's him working through us. It's not us. There's nothing special about us that makes us, you know, usable now. There's nothing special about us. There's nothing special about this young man, about his provision. It was God working through it. And we saw that in verse 11. Jesus takes what the young man brings forward. And Jesus took the loaves, the Bible says. And then he proceeds to break it and give it out. But the moment that what the young man had became Jesus's, it was no longer the young man's. He gave it away. You know, he sacrificed it. He came forward and probably wasn't expecting anything in return. But he came forward and gave it away. And then this is what we have. This is the story we have. And Jesus uses it and multiplies it. And your life, my life, becomes special in God's hands. But the moment it becomes His. But as long as our life is in our hands, it's in our control, it's in our will, and it's not surrendered yet. As long as our life is in that position, you know, there's nothing special about it. There is nothing that we can expect from it. But the moment, you know, we give it over to God and we surrender it and we say, God, you know, I take my hands off my life, but I want you to have control. And I believe that is the quickest way we're going to get God on our life. That's the quickest way we're going to get God's power in our life is through surrender. You know, as we surrender to God, it's just a simple thing. But the more that we are surrendered, I believe the more that we have of Him on our life. And the more useful we can be to Him. And, you know, none of us have fully 100%, you know, God is still working on all of us, obviously. But we can all be more surrendered tonight, with what I'm trying to say. Even if you, you know, even if you've already made that initial decision that God, you know, my life is yours, take it, use it. If you've already made that decision in your life somewhere. For me, it was when I was when I was 20, I think, when I made that decision. When I said, you know what, God, here's my life. And I got saved when I was 18. And 3 years after that, I was just, I was unsurrendered. And I was back and forth between the world and the church. But the moment we say, God, here's our life, you know, take it, use it, there's still that daily surrender. And so as we daily surrender more and more to the Lord, you know, and we're walking with the Lord and we're surrendering to the Lord, the more we can expect God to use us. And so as that proverb says, the path of the just shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Each day, you know, our lives are brighter and brighter. And each day our light is brighter and brighter. And God can use us more, hopefully, each day. And so I just want to encourage you with that, you know, we need to surrender what we have to God, our life. It's His, and we need to surrender it to Him. And that young man was used of God, and his provision was used because there was surrender, and because, you know, maybe there was faith. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly why he thought what he had was going to satisfy the need there, but he brought it forward anyway. Maybe he just thought, you know, I don't care if it might feed a few people, but here's what I have, and I'm just going to sacrifice it. Or if he thought, you know, here's what I have. Maybe the Lord can bless it. Maybe the Lord will do a miracle through this. And I'm not sure, but maybe there was faith. And so as we consider surrender as well, we need to consider that. Along with surrender, we need to have some faith to believe that, you know, what God has called us to do, or what God is leading us to do as we're surrendering to Him, that He's going to bless that. And have that faith, just like that young man, that it would multiply. And there's that problem, though, that we believe that God can't use us. You know, and I'm just trying to tell you today, this passage, this miracle is, I believe that the lesson of this miracle is that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And as we surrender to Him in faith and surrender, that we can expect great things from Him. And the moment, though, that we doubt, you know, when we doubt God, is when, you know, it's not going to work out quite like we thought it was. But as long as we have that faith, as long as we believe, as long as, you know, the Lord called us to pray with faith, didn't He? And we're supposed to walk by faith. But just like Peter, when he started to doubt, what happened? And we need to have that faith that as we're going through life, as we're surrendering daily, we need to also have that faith. You know, we go through hard times, right? And not going to say that it's easy sometimes, but we always need to have that faith. We always need to believe that God can, whatever the situation is. God has called us to have faith. God has called us to walk by faith. And the just shall live by faith, but we should also walk by faith. And so as we have this faith and this surrender, God is wanting our basket. God is wanting our life. And this young man, he surrendered it. There's some reasons why I believe that surrender is necessary. Number one, it's not found in this passage, but number one, Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of God's mercies. And of course, that's salvation right there. God's mercy is keeping you and me from hell. That's God's mercy. And by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And, you know, the number one reason I believe why God deserves my life, God deserves your life, is because He bought us. And because we're His. But He saved us from hell. That mercy of God saved us from hell. There's no better reason, I believe, to serve God than because He died for you and saved you from hell. You know, there's a group out there that believe that somehow after we get saved, we have to work our way to heaven after we get saved. But that's not found in my Bible. And the Bible says that once you're saved, God keeps you by His power. And so God has saved you by His power. He's keeping you by His power. There's no other greater reason to serve God. There's no other greater reason. And, you know, there's many things you can do out in the world today that will fulfill a purpose. But the greatest purpose out there is the souls of men. After that is the souls of men. And I believe that here in this chapter, we read about in verse 2, a great multitude followed Him. And let me just talk about this multitude. They came from far distances to hear Jesus speak, but also to hear to see His miracles. And they were astounded at everything He did, and they followed Him everywhere, but they were hungry. And Jesus looked down and saw that in verse 5, and He said, you know, these people are hungry. Where are we going to get them bread to eat? And begins probing and asking questions to Philip and Andrew, but this young man comes forward. And, you know, there is a great multitude out there tonight that is not, well, there's some that are in need of physical bread, but the greater need out there tonight is for their soul. And we read down in verse 27, when this group that He filled with bread and fish that day, some of them came back to Him wanting more. And He said this to them. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. And that meat that they were looking for wasn't going to satisfy. It was just going to last until their next meal. And He was saying, you know, there's something more important that you're not getting. And in verse 35, He said, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. And as we consider that God wants our basket tonight, there's a group of people out there tonight that are hungry for the bread of life, whether they know it or not. If they die without Christ, they're going to hell, to live forever in hell. But they're hungry for Jesus Christ. And we're the only ones that can take the news of the gospel to them. And so God is looking down at us as well, not only because He bought us, not only because He saved us from the lowest hell, but also because there's people that are headed to hell that were in the same position that we were in. And God is trying to seek our assistance, to seek our work and our effort in this area of souls. And so as we surrender to God, expect that God's going to lead you to win men to Him and to win souls to Him. That's the number one thing. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And as we follow Him, as we surrender to Him, He's going to lead us in that area. And there's people that He's going to lead us to. There's people that aren't saved that He's going to lead us to witness to. And so God is expecting that you're going to go out. If you're going to follow Him, you're going to be a fisher of men. And these men and these women around the world and children that don't know Christ. And, you know, there's a great multitude out there. And God wants to lift up our eyes and see the need. He wants to lift up our eyes and see those fields, to see the fields of men, to see that, you know, men aren't just trees walking. You know, we're looking around and we pass people every day, but these are eternal souls. They're going to spend forever somewhere, either in hell or heaven, based on the fact of what they do with Jesus. And most of them probably never heard a clear gospel presentation. When I was 18, before that point, I had never heard a clear gospel presentation from one person. I had never received any information from anybody about how to get to heaven, tracts or anything. There's people out there tonight that don't know any better. They don't know the way to heaven. And they're waiting on you, and God is waiting on you to take your basket, surrender it, give God your life, get involved in winning souls, and to let God use you. And there's a great multitude out there tonight. That's a great reason, I believe, why God should have your basket tonight. There's some other reasons. I'm not going to go through all of them. But there's a great miracle that I want God to do through my life. And God should, you know, be able to do that through your life as well. Just as this young man was privileged to be a part of a miracle, whether he knew it beforehand or not, he was privileged to be a part of that miracle. And we can read it today. We can read about this young man that what gave what he had, and God multiplied it. And, you know, he was a part of that miracle. And I want to be a part of a miracle, you know, in reaching other people. I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be selfish with what I have and keep it back from God. I want God to use my life and multiply it. And I'm sure you want God to use your life and do the same thing. We want God to use us tonight. We don't want to just be, dead Christians tonight. We want to be fruitful Christians for Him. We want God to use us in doing a miracle. And the greatest miracle outside of you getting saved, the greatest miracle is seeing other people get saved. And, there's a great joy that comes, you know, at salvation after you get saved. You're like, wow, this is great. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know it. But there's an even greater joy, I believe, or the next greatest joy is being a part of doing that for other people as well, and going out and witnessing to other people, and seeing other men and women and children come to know Him as well. And there's no other greater joy other than that that could bring you more joy in this world outside that. I mean, there's some great joys out there. I mean, it's great to, you know, embrace a new child. That's great. But as we sing that song, Because He Lives, I believe in it talks about that. But the greatest joy is to see people saved. And I want to be a part of that miracle. I want to be a part of that because, you know, God is doing miracles every day around the world and winning people to Him. And I want to be a part of seeing somebody have their name written down in the book of life. I want to be a part of that. It's a miracle. You know, as we understand it, you know, salvation is a miracle because a lot of it, you know, all of it actually happens that we can't see. And as we're witnessing to somebody, most of it, all of it happens in the spiritual realm. And it's a miracle, though we don't see it with our physical eyes. Behind the scenes, God is doing some amazing things. God is, not only is He, they're being birthed into God's family, they're being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Their sins are being washed away. Their name is being written in heaven. All of this, all at once. I want to be a part of that. I want to see people come to know Him. And I'm sure you do too. That's another good reason I believe why God deserves what we have. God deserves our life. But lastly, tonight, great blessings flow from surrender and faith as well, but from giving God what we have. And as we read in verse 13, they were gathering up fragments from the provision that was passed out. And this is what it says. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And they gathered up what was left. And what was left was found more than what they started with. And they only had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And they ended up with 12 baskets full. And as we consider, you know, God wants our life, God wants your life, just consider also that you can't outgive God. When you give Him your life, He gives you back so much more in return. You know, there's that lie that's circulating out there, especially with younger people, that if they surrender to God what they have with their life, that somehow they'll be missing out. And let me tell you, I've been on the other side, and it's not worth it. It's definitely not worth it. There's regrets. There's things that come with that. You cannot measure, you know, the blessings that come from the living the life that God has for you to live. And just as they gathered up those fragments, you know, we're going to be gathering up fragments from the surrender. When we give God our life, we're going to be gathering up those fragments of blessings. And you can't even measure those blessings. It's totally just like the end result was way more than what they started with. You're going to have so much more than what you started with Christ before you decided to surrender. If that's you tonight, I'm not sure, but definitely you need to make that decision. If you haven't yet, if you're a young person tonight, you do need to make that decision. It's a decision that until you make that decision, it's up in the air. And there needs to be a decision made on that question. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve myself? And we do need to surrender to God, to His will. But those blessings, they will far outweigh anything this world will ever offer you. Will far outweigh in eternity. Those things are going to be nothing in eternity. Those things that the world seeks after now, the Bible says that the world passeth away in the lust thereof. Everything in this world is going to burn up. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the will of God abides forever. And I just want to encourage you tonight that what you give to God in your life, in your surrender, in your will, you give it to Him. Let Him lead you, let Him direct you, guide you, and He'll lead you into that perfect will. He'll lead you into that blessed life, that abundant life, that in eternity will be immeasurable. You know, we couldn't even begin to, just like as we don't even see, we can't even see the comparison here. There was 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Compared to 12 baskets full, give you a picture of what the world has to offer to what God has to offer. Your will versus God's will. And obviously we see God's will wins out. And that boy left that day with more than what he came with. As well as maybe the apostles left with some. I'm not sure, but definitely it was more than what they started with. And there's some good reasons, and there's more reasons than this, why God deserves your life, and why we should willingly give Him our life, because we understand that it's far better than keeping it to ourselves. That young man, he could have left that day and said, you know what, I'm just going to keep it. I'm just going to have my lunch today and be satisfied, and I'll just go on my way. And we wouldn't have read that just now, that God used a young man. And God wants to use you tonight as well. God wants to use you, and He wants to use me.